Blog Talk
Well,
Radio.
Good evening. Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is, another Wednesday, and God has allowed us to come together one more time. The board is lighting up, and the calls are coming through, and I thank you and everyone that's looking on the internet. As always, once the program began, if you would like to make comments or concern, you could press the one button on your phone. I pray that everybody had a good week that just passed. And I want you to know that God is still in the blessing business. So what we going to do, we need to open up with prayer. And if anybody on the line would like to pray and you press the one button, I'll open up your mic. If not, we'll go ahead into prayer. But before I pray, I want to give thanks and glory to God for allowing this to be. And I want to thank each and every one of you, because without you, there would be no program, and there would be no me as a host. And I thank you. I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule week after week to come and fellowship together in the Word of God. Explore the Word of God together. It is so much a blessing. I thank each and every one of you. Like I say, y'all just don't know how grateful I am that you guys called. And I just want you to know it. And like I always say, this is not Diane Bible study, but it's our Bible study. And everyone can participate. I see that a person has pressed the one button. Whoever phone number is 504-948-93. You press the button, and I don't know if your button was pressed by mistake, but if you press the button and would like to pray, you can answer me at this time.
I do.
You want to pray?
Yes.
Go ahead, darling.
Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight asking you for peace. And for everyone in the session, Heavenly Father, you pressed the button of nature this morning, and our eyes flew open. We saw a day that we have never seen before. Strengthen us where we weak, Lord, and build us up where we torn down. In Jesus' name I pray. Answer our prayer. Thank you.
I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you, Miss Emily. Thank you for calling in tonight and giving that beautiful prayer. You know, I just want to say thank you. So since we didn't have the prayer by Miss Emily Richardson, I want to let you know that the title for this lesson tonight is God is Telling Us to Consider Our Ways. God is telling us to consider our ways. We're going to be in the book of Haggai. For those who don't have your Bible, you could get your Bibles. If you need your pencil and paper to write down. Remember, this is called Bible study. Whenever you go to anywhere to study anything, you have books and paper and pencil if you want to pass the course. This is Bible study. And the lesson is God is telling us to consider our ways. And it's coming from Haggai, the first chapter, the first through the 12th verse. As always, I give an introduction. So tonight I will do the same. I want to tell y'all something about Bibles. You know, plenty of times people have Bibles and they use them, and sometimes they have them and they don't use them. You know, they make jokes about people. Christians go to church on Sunday and have their Bible in their car, and they get out the car and they leave it in there, and it's in their farm the next Sunday. You know, they say Christians have their Bibles on their coffee tables just catching dust. But I want to let you know that if you never, ever read the Bible again in your life, God is still going to be God. God knows everything in the Bible because the Bible was written by man but inspired by God for correction and repute. So everything in the Bible is the daily instructions for your daily living. It's the manual to our lives. And for us to be successful in all of the areas in our lives, we got to go to the manual. So for those who have your Bible, we in Hezekiah, the first chapter, the first through the 12th verse. And what it says, in the centuries after Solomon, you know, Solomon was the king. After he died, the people of the Jews in Jerusalem, they repeatedly turn away from God in favor of idolatry. That's what they was doing. They had turned their backs on God and had started worshiping idol gods. He had built a magnificent temple in Jerusalem, and it was constructed with such expensive material that the people came from all over the world to graze upon it. The Jews rightly regarded it as the greatest national treasure. They reverenced the temple because it was the place where God dwelt with men. And it represented the heart and the soul of the Old Testament and the whole Testament and the Jewish religion. What I'm doing tonight is I'm going in the Old Testament. You know, I tell you, if you want to meet God and know God, how God is and the attributes of God, you have to go to the Old Testament. And I chose this because it's a short book. We're going to see that. But I just want you to know that if you want to know how God operated with his people, you got to go to the Old Testament. And this book of Haggai is in the Old Testament. You see, as a result of them doing it any kind of way they wanted, watch this. God used the Babylonians to judge his people and to purify them from their sins. That was when the Babylonian army under King Nebuchadnezzar defeated Judah, destroyed the walls in Jerusalem, laid waste to the city, and utterly destroyed the temple. Now watch this. They say it, the Bible says, that God used the Babylonians. Now, the Babylonians was not people worshiping God. It was the enemies. But God used them because his people that he loved had turned around from him and they was worshiping out of God. But you see here, we could see that God does what he want with what he want, when he want. You see, when nothing was left when the Babylonians was finished. The entire city was smoking and it turned to rubbish. Because of their idolatry. Now watch this. I say this all the time, that nothing happens unless God orchestrates or allows. But right now this is showing you, because of their idolatry, God orchestrated this, and then he allowed the Babylonians to capture the Israelites. Meanwhile, the Jews themselves was taken up into captivity. So that means they destroyed everything in Jerusalem. They broke the walls. They took the people and brought them to Babylon, and they lived there in captivity. While in Babylon, the Jews wept for the city Jerusalem. Now watch this. 50 long years passed, and then God raised up King Cyrus, a Persian. They say God raised up. Was this a man of God? No, he was not a man of God. He worshipped other gods. He had his own God, but God raised him up for his purpose. You see, God can use everything and anything that he created for his purpose, his will, and to get his glory. So he raised up King Cyrus. And here's another example. He orchestrated and he allowed it. Because that king was going to allow the Jews to return to Judah. God had already synchronized it and hooked it up. It was all in his master plan. And he raised him up at the right time for his glory and what he wanted to do. So when that guy became king, he decided to let them go back to Jerusalem and deal. And he gave them a leader whose name was Zerubbabel. Now, I want you to watch these dates. That happened in 538 B.C. In 538 B.C., he led about 500 people back to Judah. They found shocking devastation. Nothing had changed since the defeat 50 years earlier. Now, that's 538 B.C. And then it says, immediately the returnees set about to rebuild the temple in about 536. So that's 2 years. But I just wanted you to notice how the time in the Old Testament went. You see, the 538 the 538 comes before the 536. In other words, the numbers go down. They don't go up like they do in the New Testament. You see, they relayed the foundation and had great celebration. Because of the constant opposition, the Jews stopped rebuilding, and the process was never started again. After all, there was plenty of other work to do. They had started, these people, after they got to Jerusalem, you know, they laid the foundation, and they didn't get no further. But they stopped on God's work, but they had plenty of other work. They was ready to restart a nation from scratch. As the years passed slowly but surely, Jerusalem came to life again. Homes was built, stores was open, commerce established, fields was planted, crops was harvested, and life began to resemble something of a normal pattern. It's almost sound like the city of New Orleans after Katrina. There was only one problem. The temple foundation still laid in ruin and had overgrown weeds all over it. And every time the Jews passed it, it stood as a mute reminder of the failure to take care of God's house. And this is 16 years later. They went there in 538. They start building in 536. They got the foundation. They stopped. 16 years passed. Now we come to the summer of 520. See, the numbers is going down, not up. So we come to the summer of 520. We are now introduced to Haggai, whom we know nothing except that he is in this book and a few verses from Israel. God raised him up to deliver four brief messages in 5 months, from August to December in 520 B.C. The whole book is two chapters and only 38 verses long. Now, you can easily read it in less than 10 minutes. The message of this book is clear. It's time to finish rebuilding the temple. Haggai's words was blunt, plain, spoken, direct, and vivid. He pulled no punches and wasted no words. You can see and understand that God uses everything that he has created to accomplish his will for his glory. And now God is deciding to use Haggai, a prophet. And Haggai is going to only be a prophet for, what do you say, 3-4 months. And no more. No more is said after that, but I'm sure he kept his ministry going. But we don't know because nothing said after that 3-4 month period. And you see, right now it's 16 years later and the lesson begins. We're going to go to Haggai 1, 2. So here I go. Look in your Bibles. In the second year of Darius the king, And in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Hagar the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shehach, and the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josahath, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people said, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. You see, what we saying happened here. You see, the Lord gave a word for the people to the prophet Haggai. Haggai informed the people that God was ready to have his temple built. So we right there in the scene. This is what it's all about. This is the beginning of the book of Haggai. And this was the first time a message had come to his people through the prophets since their return from Babylonian captivity. So what they're saying, we know this is in 520, they went 38, so 16 years had passed and God didn't have no communication with his people. This was the first time he had sent a message through a prophet since they had come back to Babylon. And why you think that is? See, we have to look at the things that God has in the Bible so we can figure out what we must do in our lives to get the best success and what we shouldn't do. That's what the Bible is. When you read the Bible, you should ask yourself, what is God saying to me? God said that he was ready for the temple to be built. And the people respond by saying, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. 16 years had passed, and the people thought God wouldn't do them anything. You know, we do some things in our lives that we know is not right, and we do them over and over and over and over again. And just because the wrath of God don't fall on us at that time, we sometimes get lackadaisical and think everything is going to be all right, and that's the way they must have felt. But God forgives us, but he remembers. You know, I had to ask myself when I read this, who in their right mind would respond like that to the Almighty God? They had taken their sights off of God and placed all of their time, resources, talents on themselves. They made excuses to the prophet. When Haggai went to them and told them what God said, they start making excuses, and I'm going to give you a feel of what they were saying. They say, God wants us to take care of our family, doesn't he? You know, that's some people, that sounds like some of the excuses people say today. God wants us to have a balance, but God still wants us to put him first. God has given us enough time to take care of his business and take care of yours, so don't get it confused. You see, so they start saying, God wants us to take care of our family, don't he? And then they say, the job is too big. We'll never finish it. Have you heard that before? Have you ever said that before? And then they say, it's not our fault, so it's not our job. You know, I didn't break it, so I don't need to fix it. Then some of them said, someone else would do this if we don't. Y'all know they got a lot of people saying, like, say that, huh? And then they said, we need to pray about it some more. You know, there's some people, no matter what you ask them, it could be the simplest little thing. And I'm going to give you a true thing. We have a class reunion celebration that was going on. And I called the lady to ask her if she wanted to attend. She said, I don't know. I have to pray on it first. I said, well, okay. And it was almost time, call again. Well, I still praying on it. I said, well, keep praying on it. And I didn't call her back for that event. You know, but I still send her notices when something is going on. But I got to pray on it. We supposed to pray on everything, and I'm not minimizing that, but come on. People, you say that when they're using it as an excuse. When they have to keep telling you, I got to pray on it some more. I didn't, and some of them said, I don't think we need a temple anyway. Now, that was going far. God told them he was ready for them to build his temple. And they're going to say they don't need a temple anyway. And the rest of them said the time just isn't right. And the last one, a bunch of them said our motives are good, but we just too busy. Do you know or have you ever made these type of excuses when it comes to God or others? When God tell you to do something or sometime it come on your mind to give such and such a call or go see such and such or somebody's in the hospital or give an encouraging word, and we say we just too busy. And if we go to the third verse, they say, then came the word of the Lord by Hagar the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your silly houses, and this house lie waits? What God was saying, he said, okay, you say it's not time for me, but is it you saying it's time for you? And you dwell in these houses. What that word mean was these houses had plank ceilings and they had high ceilings and it was just fabulous houses. It was the material that the house was made of, and that's why God put that. He said, but you got time for that, but you don't have time for me, and my house is laying in waste. Your house is up, and you know, it's beautiful, and you keep working on it and working on it, and you're not taking care of what I asked you to do. You see, God was letting them know that they didn't have time to build his temple, but they had time to build luxurious homes for themselves. Please understand, there's nothing wrong with having a nice home. This isn't an attack on riches or big houses, but it's wrong to earn on a nice place while God's house lies in ruins. God doesn't ask for much. And it's a matter of misplaced priorities. And you got to remember, when God asks you to do something, he always makes the provision. You see that king that he raised up and put it on his heart to let his people go back to Jerusalem and build a temple? He also put it on their heart to give them the materials they needed. He also laid it on their heart to send some people to help them. And yet they decided, because of the opposition, to stop, and it's 16 years later. This was especially notable, watch this, since most of the people at that time lived in stone houses. They had little houses, and it would be three families. That's just the way it was. It wasn't a wasteful time. It wasn't, you know, show-off time, you know, and I mean, you know, but most of the houses were tiny stone houses. But evidently, the Jews who was there was building large panel homes, which made the situation even worse. Not only was they building houses, they was building luxurious, big time, not the norm. They was going all out the way for theirs. And God is asking his people, how could you live in a luxurious house while my home is in ruins? Remember, the temple is where God dwells with his people. The temple was the focus point of Judah and their relationship with God. And yet they still allowed it to be demolished. Instead of rebuilding the temple, the people put their energies into beautifying their homes. They forgot that God owned everything, and we are only stewards. And if we go to the fifth verse, now therefore said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Y'all listen to what I'm saying now. Look at your Bible and see what God is saying. He said, now therefore said it the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. This is scripture now. And then the sixth verse said, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earned wages to put in a bag with a hole in it. I got to read this again. Now, therefore, said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, but you brought in little. You eat, but you're never full. You drink, but you're never filled with drink. You clothe, but you're not warm. And you go out and earn money, and you put it in a bag. Put a hole in it. God was showing them the consequences for their actions. Watch this. They was doing it their way. See, that's what we got to forget. We got to realize. See, people believe that they could do it any kind of way they want, and God have to accept it. They believe they could do whatever they want, when they want, and how they want, and God has to accept it. But y'all have to remember, we are not afforded the privilege to determine how it goes. God has already did that in his word. So this is what happened. The harder they work for themselves, the less they had. Because they was ignoring God, did they forget that God is in control? If we put God first, he will provide all we need. You see, there's a scripture, Matthew 6:33, that says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. If we put God in any other place than first, all our efforts will be fruitful. They would just, that wouldn't make no sense. It wouldn't have no substance. And as King Solomon said, it would be all vanity. And that's what God told him. And then let's just look at this for a while. God said, because you see, even though they were doing things and they weren't achieving, and like that scripture said, they was planting a big old field, but they was only taking in a little. You know, they had clothes and they had food, but they wasn't satisfied because their want appetite was too large. You see, God was working that out. He said, y'all going to do what you want, but I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. See, you could do what you want, but you have to take the consequences from God when he does what he wants to you. God says, let's take a look at this picture and you will see what is really going on. You planted much and you bring in little. Do you ever stop to consider your ways when things are not going as you would like them to? You know, do you ask yourself, am I playing a part in this? And the first thing you should say is, God, pleased with what I'm doing. You eat and you're not filled because your want appetite is never satisfied, as I said earlier, by the things you do or the things you get. God should have center stage in our lives. Because remember, only what you do for Christ is going to last anyway. I know we humans and we are living in the flesh and we have emotions and we just can't get it. But the word of God is letting us know day by day, and all of the people you know that's just passing away, that everybody got to leave here. And your sight should be on your salvation and your time, your eternal life with Jesus. But we set our sights and all of our energies on things we could see, which is not faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And if you put so much focus like they did, they wasn't concerned about God's temple. They was concerned about themselves. And that was way in 520 B.C. And right now, we are in 2014 A.D. So how long you think that was? That was so long ago. And people are still acting the same. You're always busy trying to achieve more, using up all your time on yourself and leaving God out and saying, and God is saying, stop, consider your ways. And this one was the best one yet. You work you work. I know so many people work so many hours. I know people work double shifts. I know people who have two jobs. I know somebody got three jobs. And yet they earn and earn and earn. And it seemed like they put me money in a bag with a hole in it. Come on now. Consider your ways. And then if we go to 7, it say, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. God say, consider your ways. And look what he's telling. You see, even though God punish you, or God get down on you, correct you, whatever he do, once he do it, he always come with a way out and with a way to solve the situation. Yeah, he come and he tell you and he chastise and he correct you, but he always let you know that there's a way out. Because that's the kind of God he said he is. God is saying, okay, he told them all what they did and what they didn't do and what they should do. Now he's telling them in verse 8, go to the mountains and bring wood and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, say the Lord. Bam. Case solved. If you want different circumstances in your life. See what you're doing now and what you got is because of the actions. But if you don't want them same actions that's happening in your life, then you have to change something. Because the definition of insanity is keep doing it the same way and expecting to have a different result. So God say, yeah, I know what you did and what you didn't do. You know, you started on it and 16 years later it's not there. And it's covered all up with weeds and your house looked pretty. He said, okay, all of that. He said, but this is what I want you to do. In verse 8, he said, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, say the Lord. And then it say, ye look for much. He said, remember, you look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew on it, and it disappeared. God is showing him I got power. He said, why, said the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is wasted, and ye run every man into his own house. They ask him why it's happening and why he's blowing it away and why he's doing that. He said, why, said the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste. And you run every man to your own house. At night, y'all got somewhere to go. Remember, the temple was where God lived and dwelt with his people. Therefore, the heavens over you is stayed from dew. What he's saying, I'm not going to even drop no dew down for you, which will help your crops and stuff to grow. He's saying the earth is stayed from a fruit. You ain't going to get nothing on your trees. He's saying, I'm going to tell you what else. He said, I'm going to call and I call, this is verse 11, and I call for a drought. I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wines. You know, that's the grapes. You need grapes to make wines. Even shut the fruit down, you ain't going to have no new wines. And upon the oil. And they used a lot of oil, and their oil came out of olives. And, you know, he done made the drought so there is no olives. And upon that which the ground bringeth forth. And I'm going to put the drought upon men and upon the cattle and upon the labor of your hands. God is not to be played with. So that's how their life was going. He said, you've been getting a little bit, but you never took time to say, you know, you got to look at your life and you got to do reexamination and you got to reevaluate yourself every now and then. Because, you know, if you pay attention, you might find the answer of why, as to why certain things happen in your life or why every time you do a certain thing, you get the same results. We have to pay attention, re-examine ourselves. This was happening to them, and they wasn't even paying attention. And God said, you know, you think about it. You've been planting, and you ain't been getting nothing. You think they probably start saying about the ground was this and that. God said, I did that. Let's not get it twisted. God is saying you may not be paying attention on what is really going on, but carefully consider your ways. You might wonder why the temple was so important, but you got to just remember this, that in the Old Testament, the temple represented God's presence on earth. God's reputation was at stake in the rebuilding of the temple. You see, God do things, and God wants, he does different things because of what he's trying to accomplish. You see, the pagans would draw the wrong conclusion if the temple was never built. They would assume that the Jews didn't care about their God and that their God had little power. God wasn't going to let it go down like that. But he do everything in his own time, and he can do all things. He could have probably waved his finger and had the temple back up, but that's, you know, he wanted to do it, wanted his people to do it. At the same time, the Jews were also teaching their children that God doesn't matter. Is that happening in any of our homes, anybody home, you know? The way you treat God, you know, just like they say, people won't read the Bible, but they'll read you. And if you have anybody that you can have influence on and they see you doing and acting any kind of way to God, it doesn't have to help them to grow into maturity with God. Thus, rebuilding a temple was a major issue to God and should have been to the people. God is saying, let's look at this carefully. Now, this is what the Almighty God says. Give careful thoughts to your ways. Pay close attention. God now gives a solution to the Jews. Go to the mountain, get the wood, build a temple. I'll get pleasure. I'll be glorified. And he said, remember this, I'm the one who allowed your crops to grow or not to grow. Whatever you get, I can blow it away. Keep it in mind. You expect much and wondering why in return you get little. Why? Because my house is in ruins while each of you is busy with your own work. Therefore, because of you, I withheld the dew from the heavens and the earth and its crops. I withdrew the new wines and the oil. See, he's telling them everything that was happening to them. He's telling them it was by his hand and by his power and by his might. But he also told them why he did it. And first of all, he could do whatever he want. And he don't have to explain to nobody but the kind of God he is. He's just telling them now. He said, I'm the one that withheld the dew from the heaven and the earth. I withdrew the wines and the oil. I called for the drought on the field. There's a time to talk and a time to act, a time to consider, and a time to stop talking and start doing. Do we know that's in our lives? You think sometimes we should be acting and we talking? Sometimes we talking and should be acting? Sometimes we not doing and should start doing? Well, this was a time to act. And I'm going to close with this. Because they had not honored God. Every area of their lives was suffering because they did not honor God. Every area in their life was suffering. The only remedy was to stop making excuses and start doing what God had told them to do 16 years earlier. God is telling all of us, once you take care of the things of God, God will take care of all the things for you. If you take care of God's business, God will take care of yours. Remember that. God says him that worketh in you to get to do his will and to get his pleasure. God is working it out. And I have someone that lit up the phone. It's the 504-343-39. Your mic is open and you could begin to talk.
That's me, Sister Diane. Sister Judy.
Okay, go ahead. You can talk.
I just want to thank you because everything that I do now, I'm wondering why I'm not prospering because I'm not putting God first. I go to God and I ask God, I say, God, you say you would do this, but I'm not constantly praying and depending on my faith and that God's going to do this thing. You know, I've been out at work like 2 months because I broke my arm and my house note and everything was doing. I kept telling God, I said, I'm depending on everybody but you. So I was waiting for my disability, and God said, just ask me for it. And last week, my check came in the mail, and I said, God, thank you, because I was seeking everybody else but God. So I just want to thank you, just ask, you know, the increased prayer for me, that I increase my faith in God, my walk in God, my talk in God, and then stop depending on man.
And I thank you for calling in, sister. And right now we're going to pray for you because you are asking for it. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for allowing this program to go on tonight, dear God. And I pray that your word won't return void. Heavenly Father, right now we have this sister that's coming to you. And Lord, she's not asking for material things. She's asking for her faith to be increased. She asking to get a better relationship with you. She's asking that you work on her and see anything that's not of you and remove it and let her just get closer to you, God. Heavenly Father, you said if you knock, the door is going to be open. Ask and you shall receive. Lord, we know that it is already done because she's confessing it with her mouth that she wants to be closer to God. And God, you say you'll never hold yourself back. So I'm believing that it is done. It is done in the name of Jesus. And sister,
Amen.
You be blessed. And I pray you call back again. And I pray that you press your button and say what you have to say. I thank you so much for calling in.
And thank you.
Are there any other callers that would like to say anything? We have a little bit time today. So what we can do, this is what I wanted to say. Since the book of Haggai is so little, I'm asking each and every one of you to get your Bibles, not now, but get your Bible and read the book of Haggai. You know, the story is going to go on, and, you know, they're going to get it right, and they're going to mess up again, and then they're going to get it right, and they're going to mess up. But that's just how our lives are. Because we are wrapped up in this flesh, flesh is going to always crave and do fleshly things. So until Jesus come back again and take off the corruptible, is when we not going to have the issues of dealing with the flesh. We have a caller that's calling in, 504-908. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Sister Diane. This is Deaconess Rosemary. I just want to relate on what you just taught. You know, I'm a perfect example, like Sister Jude. I'm a perfect example of depending on man and not God. You know, this last year, I made a move that God did not want me to make, but I made it anyway, being disobedient. So they say the consequences of your actions. You know, when you don't obey, you get bad consequences. And like right now, like Sister Judy, I'm going through. I've been out 4 weeks with my knee, and I'm not getting any disability for my injury. But even though I disobeyed God, I came back and he talked to me and talked to me and showed me all my faults. And, you know, I said, okay, God, I'm changing. I'm willing to change. And not changing, God has blessed me. I mean, I had 2 coworkers going to give me donate vacation hours to me so I won't have to suffer until I go back to work. And like I said, you got to trust God. You can't let man believe in man because man will fail you. But if you take everything to God and just let God handle it, you're going to come out in the winning end. Oh, I'm coming out in the winning end now because I'm letting God take care of what I'm doing. I can't do it. And I'm not going to try to do it anymore. I'm going to stand still and let God handle it. What I can handle, I will, but the things that I can't handle, I know God got it. We were talking that about I got the victory. I got the victory. The first part of the year, I kind of lacked stuff. But right now, I got the victory because I'm depending on God and not man, and God is showing me favor. And I just want to let you know that.
Thank you, Sister Rosemary, for giving us that information. You know, remember, everybody, this is our Bible study. Just like them two callers, well, the three callers, Miss Emily, she called in and prayed. Thank you, Miss Emily. And then Judy called and you know, talked about it. And then Sister Rosemary called. You know, something they say may could be an encouragement to you. Some of the things that they're going through could be something that you're going through as well. And then when you see somebody else went through and they came out, that's how you know you could come out. And y'all got to remember, when you start talking about God and the things of God, you know, I learned somewhere down the road, you know, they say faith comes. You know, people ask me all the time, Sister Diane, how can I increase my faith? You know, the Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I don't know if you guys realize it, but you see, when you share the word of God with somebody, when you take time to do the word of God or evangelize for God, or you tell somebody, ask them if they say it, whenever you use the word of God and you speak it to someone else, you can hear yourself. You are automatically building and edifying yourself when you're doing that to others. When you talk, you hear yourself talk. You think when I do these lessons, when it's all over, the lesson convicts me in some areas and it lifts me up in some areas, you know. And then when I say it, you know, I didn't even know it would come out, and the Holy Ghost is working, you know, on me and through me. And I could hear myself, and I could enjoy it. You know, I really could enjoy it. And that's what the word of God does. So, I just want each and everybody to know that we have been on the air for, what, February, March, April, May, June, July. Well, almost a year and 6 months. And we just got a report on the stats today that they have had 5,136 people that has either called in saw it on the internet, or pulled the records from the archives. That's how many people. So it's a blessing. I don't know who they all are. I don't know, you know, how they're receiving the word. I don't know, you know, what it's doing. I don't know, but I know 5,136 people have had handled the word by listening on the internet, and that's a blessing. That's such a blessing. And I don't know if everybody that calls in, because most of the people on the phone we know, but I don't know who is on the internet. If there's somebody out here that don't have never accepted Christ as their Savior, I suggest that you find a church, you know, and you go and you give Christ your hand. And you don't really have to find a church, because, you know, you just have to invite Jesus in your heart. You have to, A, accept that he is the Lord and that he's a Savior. B, you got to believe in your heart. C, you got to confess that you're a sinner. I'm not saying confess all of the things you did that was sin. Confess that you're a sinner, because confessing that you're a sinner, that makes it known that you need a Savior. Because if you confess that you're a sinner, that means you can't save yourself, and that means you need a Savior. So Jesus Christ is offering himself as a savior, and that's how the relationship begins. So if there's any of you out there who don't know Christ and a pardon of your sins, and you would like to come into the body of Christ and the believers and become a Christian and follow Christ, you have to pray the prayer that I just gave you and then find you somebody. And you could, you know, start moving from there. Start moving from there. And right now it's the 9:20 hour. No one else want to make comments or concerns. I will start playing some more music. And, I mean, this was the first time I stopped that early. I don't know if God's trying to tell us something or what, because it was like 12 after. Then we got comments. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction. Okay, someone have to leave off the phone, because you know there's blessings in a benediction. But I want each and every one of you to please get your Bibles and finish reading the book of Haggai. Like I said, the book of Haggai is only 2 chapters, and they only have 15 verses in the first chapter, I believe, and 15 and 23. Yeah, 15 and 23 verses in the other chapter. You know, you could finish that so fast, and you would have read a whole book of the Bible. And I gave you introduction, and I started off on the first chapter. You follow it through with the information that you have. You see, that's what studying is all about. You know, a lady that comes to my Monday night Bible study, you know, she came and she made a confession. You know, she had been with me about 5 years, and she came to me, and it made me feel good what she said. She came to me, and she said, you know, Sister Diane, she said, I come here all the time. And when I come here, she said, I get fed. She said, but I thought about it, and it was placed on my heart that I was coming to you to be spoon fed. She said, because I don't want to look it up for myself. I don't want to read. You know, I don't want to do any of these things. You give me books, and I come back the next week, and don't even be done open up the books. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But the young lady said that she was going to try all that she could to be better. She was going to participate in it, you know, because plenty of times people will say, I went to that church and I didn't feel nothing, but what did you bring to that church? And I'm asking all of y'all to pray for Wednesday night inspiration. But the young lady said, she said she didn't want to be spoon-fed. And that's what so many Christians do. They come and they get the word and they go home. And they got the word, maybe not all of the foundation or maybe not a precept upon precept. And they really think they got it. And sometimes they do get it. I'm not saying they can't, but that's not all to it. The Bible says we have to meditate on the word day and night. He said you got to write it above your doorposts. It's because you got to always have it in your mind and your heart. And when they say pray constantly in season and out of season, don't mean stay on your knees 24 hours, but keep God in your mind. Keep him in your heart. Keep him in your deeds. All of that goes together. So, you know, I thank each and every one of you for calling in, you know, week after week. I'm so glad you do it. And I love each and every one of you all. So it is now 9:24. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I'll put on music, because there's a lot of people like to listen to the music. They be listening to the word, getting the word in song. So here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. Lord, I thank you for each and every one that decided to come on the air tonight, dear God. Lord, I ask you that you bless all of the homes that's represented here. Look down upon Judy again, dear God. She's your child. Look down upon Sister Rosemary as her knee heals from her operation. Look down on my Aunt Audrey, dear God, as she battled with her eyes. Look down on my stepmom as she battled with her own and with her knees. Have mercy, Lord Jesus. Look down upon all the sick in the shedding, dear God, and have mercy upon them. Look down upon all of the homes with the problems, dear God, and the people that's being subjected to the things of this world and country and city and state that just don't seem like it make no sense. Have mercy, dear God. And dear Lord God, I pray that we be able to meet again. I pray that the word that went forward, that it don't return void. I pray that someone can use it. I pray that it can release someone that is in need of being released. And Lord, I pray this prayer because only what you do for Christ will last. And I thank you, dear God. There's no other name I know besides the name of Jesus that can do all that need to be done. I'm bowing before your throne, dear God. I'm entering your gates with thanksgiving and to your courts with praise. Have mercy upon us, dear God. Look down upon us with every need that we are in need of, dear God. I don't know the needs of the people. Some of them, if they mention it, but I don't know the needs, but you do. And I'm coming to you with a spirit of expectancy that I expect that you would do it. Because anything that you say, if you said it, it could be done. It's going to be done. And if you said it, I believe it. And I trust you, dear God, with everything. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. And it's not too late to say something. If you want to say something at this time, if no button is pressed, I'm going to put on the music. So let me get a good song. I thank y'all for calling in today. And I thank God for you.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. In the worship song it says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say, if you know he's awesome, say,
awesome.
Come on and lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
ought to celebrate the arms of God.
And it is now it's 9:32, and I always try to finish the program at 9, so 9:30, so we earlier, and it's 9:30, and we have played a record. So this is going to end our show tonight, and I pray that you come back on next Wednesday. I pray that God's blessing be on your life during the week, and that he grant you the favor that you're in need of. This is my prayer for each and every one of you. And I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. I am Diane Adams, your host for Inspirational Wednesday. And I'll be back, if the Lord see the same, on Wednesday, same time, same station. Good night, everybody.